And welcome back to Coast to Coast. We've got open lines for you now for the next couple hours. Most of the calls, of course, will be around the Connecticut tragedy, but open lines nonetheless for you to call in. I want to share a story with you and tell you what I'm going to be doing about things like this tied into our television show. My name is Paul George. I've listened to Coast since it started many years ago. When Art left, I felt deserted. I had to admit, I was pretty closed-minded about the new host, you. You won me over very quickly, and after all this time, I feel now like we're old friends, and I listen every night without exception. I'm having some hard times these days. Medical conditions, my meds are almost $700 a month. It's pretty difficult. Please put me and my wife on your prayer list. So, first of all, Paul, yes, absolutely, you're on that Friday prayer list. But I'll tell you, something, and I've gotten many of these emails from Coast to Coast listeners over the last couple of years. And I mentioned this very briefly some time ago, and I'm going to say it again. As you know, we do a weekly television show now. The link is at coasttocoastam.com. You click the host little icon at the top of the homepage. It'll open up. It'll say George's TV show. You can click that. It's Gaiam TV. It's an internet-based television show. It's free for 10 days, and then there's a nominal $9.95 monthly subscription, which also gives you access to their virtually unlimited library of very important videos and self-help videos and things like that. That's all in that same package. When we get to a certain subscriber level, which is based on part of my compensation, just so you know that, and I don't have that subscriber level number yet. I will get that in about a month or so. Depends on how many people sign up for this. I am going to take a hefty percent of that and give that back to people like Paul. We're going to set up a foundation. I've already talked to one of my attorneys. They're going to run it through the IRS at the appropriate time and get that as a not-for-profit corporation. I'm going to have producer Tom Danheiser be the administrator. He's going to write the checks, not me. I'm just going to fund it. But we are going to do that specifically for Coast to Coast listeners. There will be a minimal form they'll have to fill out just for a little verification purposes. You're going to be on the honor system, obviously. But, you know, when you get emails like this from people like Paul, and I get lots of these, who folks can't even buy their medicine or they can't pay their utility bills. Or things like that, we're going to step in the best way we can. And I just want you to know that because the success of this television show is based on you, that it's time to give back and give back in a big way to people who need it. It's not ready yet, and it's not set up yet. And again, I need to get the subscriber number in order to have this kick in. But once it does, it will flow pretty quickly. So I'll let you know what that is in a few weeks or so after the first of the year. So when you consider whether you're going to subscribe to this television show or not, I want you to consider the fact that this is where some of your $9.95 a month is going to go. And welcome back to the open line portion now of Coast to Coast AM. Let's go to our callers by order of when they came in. Salem, Oregon, we go. Anthony, west of the Rockies. Hey, Anthony, go ahead.
Hey, how you doing, George?
Good to have you with us, sir.
If you give me 90 seconds, I'll make this brief.
I will.
Three reasons why I think that we're having issues like we are.
Okay.
First and foremost, we've lost touch with God or some type of, religious aspect that keeps us having good morals and values and being responsible. Two, parents. Parents would rather just be, their children's friends instead of being their authority figure. Three, all these pharmaceutical companies and doctors just throwing pills at us. Oh, I got a little headache. Here's a pill. Oh, I got a stomachache. Here's a pill. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And your last guest saying that, video games and these movies desensitize us. I'm 30 years old. I grew up on, Super Nintendo, Resident Evil, Duke Nukem. I played all those games.
And they were fun games, though, weren't they?
Right, right. And it doesn't necessarily dull the senses. It's not that. We can't use that as an scapegoat. you know, that doesn't change people's, you know, it doesn't make them gun-toting morons going around killing people no more than listening to your show makes people devil worshipers.
Yeah.
Or cars make you drive drunk.
Mm-hmm.
People just got to wake up, grow up, you know, take responsibility for their actions, quit whining about everything, you know, become God-fearing. Not even God. They could, in any, whatever religion they think.
Or being just spiritual.
Well, just having ownership of one's actions. And I tell you what, the best way, just, you ask Mussolini, you ask Hitler, ask what the, you know, Kim Jong-il's son or whatever that took over. The best way to enslave a country, Thomas Jefferson, is to take away their guns.
Well, absolutely.
And those people will agree.
I just sent an email back to one of our listeners who's in Toronto. Great listener, very supportive, came to see me at the event in Toronto, very opposed to my stand on guns, and thinks that the guns should be taken away. I do not agree with that. I think an armed civilization is a very healthy civilization. You are never going to stop crazy people from doing what they have to do. You yank the guns, they're going to find another way to do whatever they do. Some heinous act. Look what happened in China today. 20 kids butchered, some in critical condition, some may be dead by now, by some guy with a knife or a meat cleaver. You cannot stop that. You have to get to the root of these crazy people. And I'd like your 3 points. I think parents have a huge responsibility here. The pharmaceutical industry is a huge problem. And the lack of spirituality, I think, is critical. Next up, we go to east of the Rockies. It's Jeff Stern in Cleveland, Ohio. Hey, Jeffrey, thanks for calling.
Hey, George, how you doing?
Okay.
As if I didn't know. You rock. Your little announcement that you just made about Guyan, I'm going to be one of the ones that's going to be putting in for one of those applications, unfortunately.
Well, but you know what? I hope we can.
I want to talk about today, but first of all, real quick question. Joshua P. Warren last night, did he say how long he was going to have that up on his website for free?
Oh, he said through the holidays.
Through the holidays.
Yeah.
Okay, great. I have a suggestion and sort of a question observation that maybe one of your callers to come might be able to come up with an answer with, if you'll indulge me for a couple of
minutes. All right, you got it.
As far as gun control is concerned, it's long been my belief that if we were to have, because you know how you were talking earlier about the background checks are disposed of within a few days.
Mm-hmm.
If we had a national database that was interconnected from state to state with a limit on the number of guns people could own, like that guy that came in with 4 guns yesterday or the other day at the mall
in Portland,
that could be cross-checked from one state to the next to make sure that people couldn't get hands full of guns and hoard them, then maybe that might help to cut down on some of this nonsense that keeps happening. I don't think that it's such a great idea to just dispose of the background checks that quickly. This is a quick little stat that I just heard the other day. 16.4 million background checks last year, and only 0.5% were denied.
That's right. That's right. If they don't have any convictions, if they aren't mentally ill in terms of by a doctor, they can probably get that permit.
See, but that's the thing, because the guy today, they said he has OCD tendencies, and they believe that he suffered from asthma.
Well, these were his mother's guns, though. These were his mother's guns.
The other day, he stole the AR-15.
He stole that from his friend. That's right.
The thing that I believe that if we had this national database, if somebody were to use a gun, whether it was their own or whether they stole it, the person that bought the gun that's on record for owning the gun should also be culpable for whatever happens with that gun, and then maybe people will take care of them. So anyway, that's the observation. Now, here's the question that I have. I have to wonder how often this kind of stuff boils to the surface but not necessarily boils over. Because here in Cleveland, you probably heard earlier in the year, we had the incident at Chardon High School where three kids were killed by a student
yeah.
who's now going on trial.
Right.
A few years ago at Case Western Reserve University, we had another situation where a guy went crazy at the university at the School of Business and shot a whole bunch of people. Just yesterday, a sixth grader was arrested for having a handgun in his locker. And twice now this year, there's been bomb threats that have been held at North Ridgeville High School, and the school has been put on lockdown. The first time it happened, I think they were on lockdown for almost an entire week, and this time it's been for a few days because they found somebody found a note in the hallway that said that had a whole bunch of racial and sexual slurs to it. So I have to wonder how many times the situation arises that for whatever reason doesn't actually happen, but could potentially happen. And I'm just wondering if any of your, you know, potential callers for the rest of the night might know an answer to that question.
I'm not sure.
I will take my answer off the air.
I'm not sure anybody can put an answer to that. That is the $64,000 question. You just don't know. That's why I've said this will happen again. I said that when I was doing my local show during the Columbine situation. It will happen again. And it's happened, and it's happened, and it's happened. It's not going to stop. And you can't stop it by taking away the guns. They will come up with a different way to do it. They may walk in with dynamite. Who knows? Let's go to Pete in Chico, California, wildcard line. Pete, go ahead. Thanks for calling.
George, how are you tonight,
sir? Oh, I'm okay.
Okay. I'm hearing so many mixed messages from your callers, and of course, I would expect nothing less. I think to begin with, what you've proposed with your new show, I think is a very generous philanthropic move that is a paradigm shift that needs to occur societally throughout our world, if you will, in America and elsewhere.
Thank you.
I think along with that, I think people continue, just as you were posed the question about, you know, here, let's have another database. God forbid if we have another governmental overlay to watch over. Ultimately, what we are is just a species. And everybody at the end of the day forgets that we're just happen to be fortunate enough to be at the top of the food chain. And the rat study of 1967 has done exactly what we're suffering from today. You put too many animals in too small space, you get social deviance, you get all the other different items. There's plenty of people that could have different opinions, outcomes, otherwise. I think Mr. Bergen, I hope I'm pronouncing his name properly.
Bregan, Peter Bregan.
Bregan is a genius in the fact of how he interacts with people in the fashion that he does.
I got to tell you, if I needed a psychiatrist, he's the one I'd want to go to.
Well, as do I, and I'm not going to intimate that I do, but yes, I agree. with that being said, I think that you are committing with grace and other divine capabilities and directions that more people should catch the scent and.
I think they will. Look, I want to do what's right, and you know what's right is that I've been doing this program now for 10 years, and God willing, I'm going to do it for as long as I can. And it's been very rewarding for me in all ways. And this program that I'm getting involved with, it's something where I don't have to live on it, on the income. So I'd rather be able to, I'm going to help. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to help my kids a lot with my portion. And I'm going to divvy it up like that. But that portion that goes to our Coast listeners, it's going to go to them. And, you know, I told the president of our network that yesterday. It's just critical that I do that. Some of the emails that I get, are heartbreaking. And sometimes you want to be able to help everybody, and you just can't, obviously. But this is one way we can help a lot of them, and we're going to do that. So I'm asking you to participate in that as well. Get the 2 weeks free. That's all I'm going to ask you to do. Get the 2 weeks free. It's GuyamTV.com/George. Again, the link is under host at the top of the page at coasttocoastam.com. It opens up. It says George's TV. Get the 2 weeks free. That's all I'm going to ever ask you for. And then you decide what you want to do after that. Let's go to another call before we take the break. Christian in Los Angeles. Hey, Christian, how are you?
Hello, George. How are you? It's Christian. Can you hear me fine?
I sure can.
Yeah, I just want to say I've been listening to your show for quite a few years. I've listened to you, and you're sort of, you know, like a mentor. I like the way that you don't hold prejudice or vices against any of your callers. But to give you an idea of the horrific event that happened today, in a way I can identify with it, you're right. Taking away guns from the population is not the answer. I think what's happened is, in a way, basically, you know, like the first caller said, the problem is that there's really a leadership gap, especially in government and especially in the family.
Yes.
There's a leadership gap. There's the fact that people now, especially with the society we live in, with the economy, the way it crashed, there's a sense that there's no hope anymore. I think, look, not to get too personal, but I'm 38 years old, and I'm a student, and I have gone through a lot of all my life because of my sexual orientation mm-hmm. and the fact that I have a learning disability. I went through a lot of, not so much physical, thank God, but verbal abuse all my life. And
did you ever want to kill someone because of that?
No, but I have felt in the past, because of that, I felt suicidal a lot.
Yeah, I can see that.
And especially with the economy, I've gone to technical colleges. I've earned a couple of technical degrees,
good for
especially
you.
In the healthcare industry. The economy collapsed and the job market collapsed. And I think in a part, see, what the government needs to do, especially for my generation, is that, you know, really, you need to give the young people a sense of hope again that things are going to get better.
They must have hope. You're right. That's one of the problems in the Middle East. You can see, Christian, what's happening over there where kids don't have hope. You have hit it right on the head. You have to have hope for these kids. Look, we're going to take this break. I'm going to come right back. Christian, thank you for your call. Back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Well, it is time for our shout out to those of you who listen to Coast on our more than 564 radio stations across North America. Thank you so much. Coast Insiders, thank you for all you do. And XM Talk Channel 168 listeners. And then the various chat rooms all over the place. The Imaginative Worlds, Into Infinity, Fantastic Forum 2, Sorcery IRC, those who follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and you can simply go to coasttocoastam.com and sign up for that. Yahoo Chat, the SoCal UFO Meetup Group. How about the Hollywood Ghost Hunters and our buddy Greg the Cook in St. Louis? And right around the corner, of course, will be Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. Just remember that we're going to have special live programming for you on those days. And then New Year's Eve and New Year's Day night, of course, we also will be on the air for you. No tapes on those holidays. Let's go to the phones again. Cindy in Orange, California. Hi, Cindy. How are you?
Hi, George. I'm great. How are you tonight?
Good. Holding on.
Good, good. I'm a first-time caller, but I'm a long-time listener.
Well, thank you. What got you to call tonight?
Well, I was thinking, I've wanted to call for a really long time, and I was thinking about something, because there's so many changes that, you know, changes going on in the world, mm-hmm. and it seems like things are heating up really quickly. And there's something that I've been exploring for a really long time that addresses a lot of these transitional things and help smooth things out. When I called in, she asked what I was interested in, and I said, well, I'm interested in reduction of negativity and increase of positivity.
I'm all for that.
Yeah. And I, you know, for many, many years, it's probably been, since 1972, I've been working with something that is scientifically documented to help eliminate negativity and raise positivity. And it's being researched and talked about in the media a lot right now. And I think that you've had it on before, but I'm not sure. But it's a real paradigm shift in terms of understanding. And that's, it goes along with the concepts of the unified field of quantum physics and how it's possible that we all have that connection to that source that's deep within us that could be called the unified field, and that there are there's a technology to be able to access that field and enliven that in us, and it's called transcendental meditation. And in large groups, it's been documented to reduce negativity with all kinds of, in all kinds of situations, whether it's reduction of crime, drug abuse, accidents, sickness rates, hospital admissions. And it's well documented to do this throughout the world. I was just at a presentation tonight looking at, it was a report on an international tour that had been done where this had been explored throughout the world. And it was just amazing. And I kind of wonder, you know, sometimes I just want to talk to people about it because I think it's really, people don't realize that they could actually make a difference in the world. How helpless most people must feel to feel like, who am I? I'm only one person. How can I make a difference in the world? How can I not only make my own life better, but also add to the improvement of the world as a whole?
I think that's critical that they do that too.
Yeah, there was a study done in 1993 where ahead of time the Senate and Congress, the U.S. Congress, the press, and the local police in Washington, D.C., ahead of time were told that a large group of people practicing transcendental meditation and its advanced practice, the TM City program, which accelerates brainwave coherence and other benefits seen in TM, that this large group was going to D.C. and was predicted, we predicted ahead of time that we would lower the crime rate by around 20%. And it's on YouTube. If you go to YouTube and Google square root of 1%, you'll see something, a little news clip, about a minute and a half news clip thing that was shown, put together by some students who are fascinated with this concept.
And it works.
It did. It did. It lowered the crime rate over a two-month period by an average of 18%. And the last 2 weeks, 25%.
Well, we've got one of our guests, Dr. Lynn McTaggart, and she has conducted experiments that much the same way to reduce crime over Washington, D.C. We don't have results yet from her, but we'll get them soon enough. Cindy, thanks for your call. Let's go next to Joe in New York on the wildcard line. Hey, Joe, welcome to the show.
Hey, George. How you doing tonight?
Okay, Joe.
I'm a retired New York City police officer, and I've also served in the military.
Thanks for all that, by the way.
Oh, thank you. I'm not trying to brag. I'm just,
It is what it is. So.
What's that?
You are what you are. That's good. Don't worry about that.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm in a dilemma. I had applied for Social Security disability, and what had happened was Social Security had lost 3 years of my records. And when they asked for them to be replaced, I couldn't replace them because they were, along with a few friends of mine, they were destroyed in 9/11. But what I did find was about 75 pages of printouts from all the doctors that I had been to for those 3 years. I took them to the White Plains, New York office, and I've had multiple surgeries too. I'm a single parent. And my home's in foreclosure. I have a lot of, you know, I get a small pension every month. It wasn't like a three-quarters disability, an ordinary disability, so it's very small. And I've been a single parent for 8 years. But what happened was I had brought those papers with me to the White Plains, New York office, and I had showed them to the director. And he laughed in my face and said, "Maybe you went for a cold. And, you know, we can't look at this." And, you know, I know from working that there was many people that, I mean, self-inflicted injuries, like heroin addicts that receive it. I would stop them and say, "How do you buy heroin? You don't work." "I get my Social Security disability check."
Amazing.
So I was wondering if all my avenues are exhausted because nobody will look at the papers. But if there was some way you could help me, if there was some, you know, where you could point me in the right direction, someone to call, something like that.
Well,
I don't know what to do anymore.
Is there a lawyer out there who specializes in stuff like this?
Well, yeah, the lawyer that I had was very incompetent.
A good one.
No, they won't even listen to me anymore, or even to an attorney. I don't know what to do anymore. I've been told.
All right, I'll tell you what you can do. You do have a computer, right?
I'm kind of in the Stone Age with it. I have one, but for my daughter.
I mean, send me an email, guys, because I can't come up with any thoughts for you right now, but I would send it along for you to some people who might be able to help you.
I appreciate that,
okay.
And I will.
George at coasttocoastam.com, if you would. That's the email. And mention that you're on the air. I get thousands of emails, and sometimes it takes me a while to sort through them all. I do look at them all. Let's go next to Toxic Reverend in Santa Rosa, California, on the wildcard line. Hey, Toxic Reverend.
Hi, George. Thank you for having me on. And guys, thank you for the show you're doing.
Doing our best.
Two things, but really the one I wanted to bring up was the kids in that movie Supersize Me at the Atwood school in Wisconsin that did a 180. They didn't just take away the junk food and give them organic food. They also put nutritional supplements in their smoothies. And all those behavioral problem kids and learning disabilities did a 180, turned around and got well. And I was thinking to suggest that as a guest, those people, I sent you an email about it. I hope you got it. I think that some of the answers and positive things are something that need a little closer look with this. The lady that wrote the book that it was all really founded on was Barbara Stint. She had Natural Oven. It was a name of her website. She's retired now. But the main book she based it on was called Food and Behavior by Barbara Stint.
Right, resend that to me because I don't remember seeing that.
Okay, I'll reset it as soon as we're through. One of the other things I had, though, that is a completely different topic, was Eugene Kapansky, of whom found the flame virus.
Mm-hmm.
And they talked about Suffolk and how it attacked different nuclear sites and facilities. He was calling for a nuclear a cyber weapons international treaty. And I haven't, it's like the mainstream news media doesn't want to touch that one.
That's a great story.
Well, I could forward you that one again, too, because I listened to the webinar with the Union of Concerned Scientists, and I was on the phone this morning with some of those gentlemen. And the Union of Concerned Scientists, their integrity and science program, has a 52 Nobel laureates.
All right, definitely. Definitely send that to me. Love to see that, too. That could be a great, great program. Toxic Reverend, that's who it is. Let's go to Alaska. Effie is with us, way west of the Rockies. Hi, Effie.
Hi, George.
How are you?
I'm marvelous, thank you.
What's up?
And I am so nervous and excited to be able to talk to you tonight.
Nah, don't be nervous.
I call in many times. I even have notes. And the weird thing is, everybody that's gotten on tonight has talked about some of the things on my list. And the gentleman that just called about Social Security, I can totally relate to what he's going through.
I've been a single parent
all my kids' life.
It's not easy. Not easy being a single parent.
Huh?
It's not easy being a single parent.
No, it wasn't. I, a lot of times, worked two jobs and as a matter of fact, had to resign from working on the North Slope because of MS and other things. But it's a good thing because it's made me realize that I have to change the way I eat.
Mm-hmm. And take turmeric, will you?
Yeah, I do. I use it all the time.
Good.
I do.
Were you taking it before you came down with MS?
No.
Afterward?
No.
Are you seeing
I have really bad arthritis for somebody my age.
Are you seeing a difference now that you've been taking it?
No, not really. What makes me feel different is stress.
What is what?
Stress.
Stress.
And negativity.
That'll kill you. You got to be careful.
Oh, my gosh. And if I'm around people that are sucking the energy out of the room, my body starts hurting. And I get rid of the stress, and I feel better.
Can you tell if you're next to one of these psychic vampires? I mean, do you know right away?
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah. And I get away. Go away. I don't want to be around them.
Definitely get rid of them. You know what? Stress will kill you. We've talked to Dr. Peter Reagan about that. You got to remove stress. Dr. Leonard Coldwell says that stress is one of the reasons why people come down with cancer. the body's immune system goes out the window. First time caller, AJ is in Pompano Beach, Florida. Hey, AJ, welcome to the show.
Thank you, sir. It's good to be on. I've been listening since Art Bell first started out. It's
thank you.
It's been the first time I've been able to get through.
That's a long time.
I just want to let you know, I've got sort of a unique perspective when it comes to these all these killings that have been happening. It just so happens that I used to live in Bath, Ohio, and I was in the fourth grade with Jeffrey Dahmer.
Did you know him, or was he just like there?
Yes, I was friends with him until he started. He used to collect roadkill and then play with it, and then you know people started to you know steer away from him.
Was he weird prior to that?
Yes. Well, like I said, he was. He seemed like a normal kid, you know, because he was, you know, he was personable, he was good looking, he was very quiet, very shy.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, he started playing with roadkill, and then with you know, you'd find him, you know, playing with roadkill, and you know, up in rural Ohio,
like a dead skunk or something like that.
Yeah, you know, and then you hear about some of the neighbors' pets gone missing. You know, listen to some of the people that were on before me. Like I can relate to Paul. I'm in pretty much the same situation. Only my situation is a little bit more extreme. I was the sixth known case of this particular kind of bacteria that's it's known now as MRSA. I was the sixth known case in the world, and they were going to operate on my back with steel rods in my neck and my lower back. They went in, did arthroscopic surgery, and removed 10 of my discs, and then wouldn't go any further with the operation once they found out the infection that I had. So I'm pretty much stuck with a $2,300 a month medical bill.
That's huge.
I've been trying to get by on $500 a month since 1991. And I've barely been surviving. Up until recently, I was able to go around. And since I'm down here in South Florida, they have a lot of wealthy people come down to South Florida, and they happen to bring a lot of their antiques and stuff like that. And I used to go around and I'd find some of these antiques that people didn't know what they had, and they'd throw it away. And I found, you know, items that are worth $40,000-$50,000 that they just throw away in the trash. I'd take it and I'd refurbish it or whatever, and then resell it on eBay. And I did that for 15 years, and it was able to keep me afloat. But as far as these people with all these killings that seem to be getting more and more frequent, it not only is the fact that people with higher IQs are becoming lonelier and more isolated because of, you know, people having broken families. You know, I can sympathize with that because I was orphaned at 3 and again at 12, and I was shipped off to a private institution when I was 9, and they stuck me on Ritalin from the time I was 4.
Oh my God.
That I don't know if you're aware of what that does to your body, but it screws your entire system up. So I developed something called drug paradox syndrome, where certain drugs either work in reverse or they only work like maybe 25% of what the effect it should have, or they don't work at all. Like if I, for example, if they prescribe Valium to me, I climb the walls. It's like giving speed to a chipmunk.
Are you off all that stuff now?
I can only afford a small amount of the pain medication, so because otherwise I'm bedridden, so that's one of the reasons I'm listening to Coast to Coast just about every night.
We're
at the end of the month.
We're company for you while you're in bed, I guess, huh?
Right, exactly. Usually I don't sleep for about the last 8 days of every month because I can't afford the medication.
You mean you literally stay awake during those last 8 days?
Yes.
Oh my God.
I've gotten used to it over the years. I'll go about 7-8 days and then I'll hit the wall and I'll sleep for like an hour, maybe two. And then it won't be like consciously sleeping. I'll just literally pass out and then wake up and it'll 2 hours will have gone by, and I'll just be, you know, laying there in the same position I was.
Well, you lay in bed there, AJ, and listen to the program. We've only got about an hour left, so hang in there, old boy. Let's go to Mike, Livermore, California, our old buddy. Mike, I trust your mother got the donation in the bet that you won, huh?
Oh, yeah, she got it. In fact, I got to talk to Tommy about getting your address because she wants to send you a personalized thank you notice.
Oh, wow.
Instead of the generalized one they send out. And unfortunately, the gal who does those lost your address. So I'll talk to Tommy about that later.
All right. Well, you know what? You won the bet fair and square, and I made the donation as you directed.
No, you followed through.
And then you didn't think I sent the check.
Oh, no. My mom was, what happened was she called me and said, she said, was that address Sherman Oaks? And I said, probably. And that was it. She didn't know who it was.
Oh, okay. And but she had it. Name, okay.
Yeah, she had it, definitely. And Ian says you should have sent four times as much for the loss.
I should have.
But anyway, no, and I'd like to apologize because when I called back, a couple of my friends said that I beat you up pretty bad on the air, and I didn't mean to.
You didn't. Nobody beats me up on the air. You know that, Mike.
Oh, yes, of course.
I'm tougher than nails. Hold on. I'll be back.